It's time for the second funniest podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. Hello and welcome to the second funniest podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. This is episode 418. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the anniversary edition, the collector's edition in all of our hearts, the Master Chief helmet in all of our minds.
I had that.
I know you did. The one, the only, the KevinMiller.com. Jump and press circle button, Kevin.
I hope you don't get shot by an alien. Justin?
What is...
Don't get shot by an alien.
What is that?
You know, I need to just come up with something that I say back to you and be okay with it. But every time I think, I have to say something.
You're putting
different.
Way too much pressure. That's enjoyable.
No, it's fun, though. I like it.
Well, then do it. Then that's all this is. Remember, you put it best. I drove away from our episode recording session, is what I call them, because that's what they are.
After last week's episode?
Yeah. And
the history of Game Boy 2?
No, I'm saying even
how
before
to
that.
Hook a bra.
I'm saying that you called this a hobby to explain to the listeners. They're like, when are you going to be doing Toys R Us?
Yeah, it's an improv.
Because that's how they talk.
They're saying improv in the room. I don't know why. Kevin equals improve master. Thanks, Snookums.
But anyway, I was like, you know, that's a good point. This is a hobby. And we have fun doing it.
Yeah.
So don't worry about
it. So you agreed with that it is a hobby.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, now if we start making some money, then yeah, of course, we're going to raise the bar.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. I hate that lie that people tell, which is if you're good at something, you should get paid to do it. I think that is an absolute lie. If you're good at something, you should enjoy doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
I do what I enjoy. I find that and I enjoy it, and I'm a big fan of it. What are we talking about today? I'm vamping too much.
You don't have to vamp.
I need to shut it down. I need to look into those beautiful eyes of yours and just imagine myself caressing my upper lip against the chin of that gristly, manly beard of yours.
Really?
And I need to just listen to it. I need you to speak. At that orientation, you'd be speaking directly into my nostrils, which is a direct path to my brain so that I could hear it before my ears even can touch it.
This is the top 40th gayest thing you've ever said to me.
Well, we're going to be counting them down. We've got requests. Traffic and weather at the top of every hour.
When I was a kid, that's just how our Game Boy stuff started. But when I was a kid, we'd go to the store and we'd either rent a video game or buy a video game. And some of the most agonizing moments, and I'm a guy that likes delayed gratification, but some of the most agonizing moments were that drive from the store home with that new game in hand.
Really?
Yeah. Because it was like, finally, it's in my hands. Why don't we have a game console in this car? Why isn't my Super Nintendo...
Are we doing this in reverse order? Are you leading into the Game Boy now?
No, I know. No. Because I never felt that way about Game Boy games. Like, as we talked about the last few episodes, I have a stack of Game Boy games. I don't remember where they came from or where I bought them. But I'm talking about when you get, like, SimCity or the new Mario Brothers. Finally, you've got it. Or Ninja Turtles. I spent months scrimping and saving to buy Ninja Turtles. And when the terrible arcade base, or the not even the arcade one, the terrible, like, weird side-scroller one that was out for Nintendo. And the guy took my money, like I had $50 just laying around. I wanted to be like...
Where Donatello was the only decent character to play as because he had the longest range weapon.
Exactly.
It just made it easy.
And in Nintendo Power told you that, too. But I'm like, well, where are my balloons? Why didn't the guy shake my hand and say, good job, kid? You made it.
Ruffled your hair.
I went home and hated the game and cried a little. Why didn't I rent this first? So to stave off that pain in driving home, I would open the game up and look at the instruction manual, thinking that it would somehow give me...
You would be able to delve into the world.
Yeah, like, you know... You just sort of get some of that pain off of me, like a fix. Like, oh, I'm so close to playing the game. Maybe the instruction manual will be as fun. They're not as fun. They're terrible. And
they used to be worthwhile, though.
That's what I want to say, is I remember sometimes they would include a story in there or give you a little backstory or pictures or anything. But now they're nothing, I feel like.
It's literally nothing but disclaimers.
So I have millions of games in this house, and I've grabbed a stack of a few different consoles, a few different generations. I brought them here and set them on the table. and I want to go through and just sort of, I don't remember. Some of these I think are good examples of what I'm talking about.
Munch's Odyssey.
You want to look at that? So yes. Yeah, let's go back. Let's go back to the Xbox.
That's that can't be called Munch's. Oh, yeah, Oddworld. Okay,
it's Oddworld. It's the fourth, or third in the series, and you got to play as Munch
because Abe's Odyssey was the first one.
Yeah.
So what's the other ones?
There was two before that one. Abe's Odyssey and Abe World or something.
Abe's Exodus?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And then that was the third one.
So let's look at the instruction
manual. So he's pulling out this is an old classic Xbox game.
Gosh, I remember getting this game because it looked so cool and I liked the idea so much. And then it was so hard and disappointing for me, this game.
My brother described it as the only game that would make him cry when he played it. It was so hard.
You would
get
so frustrated. Ah, the story.
It's got a story.
We first made Abe, hapless floor waxer, become hero in Oddworld Abe's Odyssey, where he rescued his fellow Muddikins from Rupture Farms and struck a major blow to the Gluckans of the evil Magog cartel. Then ancestral spirits showed him there was more to the slaughter of his fellow Madunkins, or Madunkadunkins.
That's right, they're Madunkadunkins.
Then met the sutured eye. Because of this, in Oddworld's Abe's Exodus, Abe had to save the remaining living Madunkins because they needed $50 more from you out of your wallet. As well as save the spirits of his dead Madonkan ancestors, sabotaging the Soul Storm Brewery boilers in the process. It was a lot of work for a simple Madonkan like Abe, and possibly too hard for the demographic in which it was intended. So yeah, you got a whole story. You got a little. There's
a little little slight there against gaming, right?
I'm sorry?
$50 and too difficult.
Oh
and...
yeah, I don't know why they would put that in here. That almost seems like I made it up, but it's not. It's right in here.
Yeah, I think they're trying to say a little something there. So that's on the good old Xbox, the same generation. Pikmin 2 for the GameCube, which I didn't know I owned. Open that up. Your instruction manual. What color is it in color?
Yes. That's what Abe would do when he would charge up a power.
So Pikmin 2, open this up. First page is all instructions. Caution, motion sickness. Caution, electric shock. To avoid electric shock when using your system, and there's like 6 bullet points here, do not use the Nintendo GameCube during a lightning storm.
Hmm.
Does that really? Like if your house gets hit, will the power come out of into the cord and into your... Really?
Yes. Theoretically, that is correct because if you don't have a surge protector on your power system within your
And a surge
house.
Protector would protect you from a lightning...
Yeah, the very definition of a surge protector is it's a circuit breaker for the entire house. So if there's a power surge that happens, it works like a circuit breaker and cuts the power off right there. It can't continue into the circuitry in your house.
They don't go into
and
that.
Thusly destroy your television and or computer, which could be connected to the power source.
Oh, well, I'm glad I have that. I guess I was like, oh, crap, I need one for my TV. Maybe I should take the one off my computer. No, if lightning's going to strike my house, I want to protect my $3,000 computer before I... protect my $400 TV.
Right.
Yeah, it's probably a good call. I'll keep it the way it is.
But I think that what they're missing here is that's part of the excitement of why you would play a GameCube and why you would be playing for any reason Pikmin 2 is like, well, if I'm going to ruin something, it's going to be this game and my life while I'm during
playing
a lightning storm.
Like living on the edge.
Because that game, I don't remember, that game can't be good. Is that a good game?
Pikmin 1 was very good. I remember Pikmin 2 being quite a disappointment.
How long ago was this?
It was 2001-ish.
I remember you being disappointed about this game.
About Pikmin 2.
Right. Because we were still a great America. Yeah, we were still a great America.
In Pikmin 1.
And you coming to work with this.
Oh, really?
Going, oh, look at this. Because I never played Pikmin 1.
Oh, I've got so many more games.
Oh, you
got to
play this. You got to play this. Sorry. I'm going to get
it. No, you're right. Because I was so excited for Pikmin 1 was wonderful. You had 30 days. It had like a good story in it. You were going to, it even told you, you've now won the game. But you can still keep playing and try to salvage as much as your ship as you can. And you're a little tiny guy in some sort of backyard environment. You go around and there are 3 different types of Pikmins that you can have. Some do this, some do that. So I thought Pikmin 2 is going to be that times 10. Like there will be a bunch of different Pikmin and you can have Pikmin guard your house. And you can have Pikmin do this. It was nothing like that. It was a major disappointment. but the instruction manual looks pretty cool. It's got the table of contents looks like... I don't even know what I'd describe that as. Little coins with different colors. Ooh, and it's got a story. Okay. Olimar's safe return to Hokkaite. My name is Captain Olimer, and I just got back from the worst vacation in the history of the universe. While traveling across the vast galaxy, my beloved spacecraft was hit by an asteroid, and I was forced to crash land on an uncharted backwater planet. But on my home world of Hokokite, I'm a renowned space freight captain. But I didn't even know what to do. My ship was pulverized into dozens of pieces that were scattered across the landscape. Thankfully, with the help of loyal and ferocious alien creatures I named the Pikmin, I was able to find and collect all of the ship's components and repair it. Before blasting off, I found a shiny alien platter I thought would make a great souvenir to bring back to my kids.
Does this actually happen in the first
game? Yeah, this is all the first game. Okay. So it's like the first game, and then some more stuff happens. And then I think he goes home and he gets busted for not... So he uses the shiny metal platter as like a bottle cap, and then it becomes like the ultimate... That's right. You go back to the planet to harvest more bottle caps. So instead of getting like pieces, you get bottle caps, whatever. I was sad.
That's in the first Pikmin?
That's the first Pikmin is go and get pieces to your ship.
The second one is bottle caps.
Go get bottle caps.
Because I want to say
you think it would go the other way around. Right. Like, that first one is so clever.
Yeah. We need to dumb it way down.
Bring it down.
Because I want to say, correct me if I'm wrong on this, Kevin, yeah. You have a much better memory than I do, but I want to say in some kind of Great America setting, I remember a rant about bottle caps. Bottle caps, that's what I have to collect, are bottle caps.
Really?
I remember you being irate about that phrase, bottle caps, like saying, that's a game.
You sure?
To collect trash, to get bottle caps, the thing that when you drink, you toss aside. Even when there's a game to be won and a free drink, more often than not, you don't notice it. That's what I have to collect in a video game. That's the way that they, because you felt very jilted about this sequel, if I remember correctly.
You sure that wasn't 30 seconds ago? I love that I'm consistent.
In your video game rage?
Yeah, that sounds about right. And I wish Nate Fox was here because he was the first guy that ever told me this, is that they put all the instructions, I think they have to by law, in how to play the game in here, but nobody reads those. The first thing you do is play the first level of the game, and that teaches
you
how
to
play. Why by law? I don't know. That's a good question. I wish he was here. But here in this, there's a full...
Why is he not here?
I wish he were. Jeremy, get him on the phone. That was the last episode. There's a full-blown, full-color diagram of pictures of your GameCube, and there's like, X says, don't do this. Do not remove the memory card or turn off the power while saving. Doing so can damage the Nintendo GameCube and the memory card. There's a picture of the game. Oh, I guess the GameCube is on, and there's a red X covering the place where you should put the GameCube.
Well, this is always a thing that I always thought was funny, that they're like, they're showing you how to install the game, like insert it into the
game.
Like, who doesn't know this?
This book is so thick. There's just page after page of how to operate this game, and there's descriptions of red Pikmin, yellow, blue, purple, white Pikmin.
Angel of the Triad mentioned in the chat room that you collect bottle caps as currency in Fallout 3. Yeah, but still.
That's
different.
Different. It's not Pikmin. Look at this. In the middle of this instruction manual is a full...
A beautiful illustration.
Little claymation for no reason at all, because it's like art.
Is that anything in the video game at all?
No, it's like somebody made that, and they just stuck it in here. So it's very pretty. And it's all like clay-based.
Why do I smell toasted peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Am I having a stroke right now?
Yes, and wake up. Time to do podcasts.
Oh.
Wake up. All of this show has been a dream.
Kevin, it was so weird. You were angry about a Vita, and you were angry about bottle caps.
But here, next to it, is the Nintendo GameCube Health and Safety Precaution Booklet.
That's separate.
A separate thing.
Like a sexual harassment pamphlet.
What is that? 18-inch long quad fold-out piece
which
of paper.
Which looks like 8 different languages tells you not to slap the ass of your GameCube. That is an inappropriate way. You're supposed to treat your GameCube. It's not an Xbox. It's a GameCube.
Ratings are through the roof. All right, pick another. You choose the next game. You choose the next one. You want to look at the instruction menu. I got another GameCube game here.
Let's look at something a little closer now. Let's go Uncharted.
Uncharted.
My dear sweet love, Nolan North.
Going over to the PS.
Who, by the way, I don't know if we should have mentioned this. I want to have him on the show again. But he wrote a book. Like, there's a book available.
Nolan North did?
Yeah.
Or Uncharted.
Both.
Yeah.
He wrote a book. Nathan Drake. He wrote a book about the making of the Uncharted games. And it's like a kind of a coffee table book mixed with personal anecdotes of things that happened while they were shooting it. It's called Drake's Journal, if I remember correctly. It's probably available on Amazon, but maybe we can have him come on to give that
That'd
a plug.
Because
it's a thing that he went to Sony and said, hey, I have fans who I think would be interested in this. Is it okay if I make it? And that throws a little more coin in Nolan North's pocket. So if you're a fan of him beyond the video game, then go ahead and do that. So we're looking at the Uncharted. This is Drake's Fortune, page one.
It's smaller because it fits. Isn't it funny that the instruction manual fits the size of
the box?
Of the box.
Yeah.
But it looks good. You're holding there, it looks like a
Yeah, very, very well
tell
designed.
Tell us about the cover.
The cover, it looks like a leather-bound book, like almost like his journal or an oldie-timey book that you would find. And then there's coffee stains because everything oldie-timey has to be... Coffee is the oldest bedroom.
At some point
somebody spilled coffee.
Why? Why would that always happen? There'd be a coffee ring. I guess it's to say that somebody didn't care about it or was working
working that you don't notice.
You don't notice that you've
ruined
it.
In this case, look at what I just did. See there? Same exact cup of coffee was spilled there and there. If you look at page 7 and page 23 of your... This is what we do. We expose the lies in video games here at the Second Funniest Podcast. It's a conspiracy. What is significant about the numbers 7 and 23? They add up to be 30. What does that mean? That's for you to figure out. That's a puzzle for you to take home. What I thought was interesting was, I never pay attention to this. Warning, photosensitivity, epilepsy, seizures. Did you read this on the other one too?
No, but
a very small percentage of individuals may experience epileptic seizures or blackouts when exposed to certain light patterns or flashing lights like this.
The PS Vita, when you turn on any game, that is the first thing it says right at the beginning. As soon as you turn it on, it says, warning if you have a history of epilepsy.
Dizziness, altered vision, which I think is hilarious.
I have altered vision.
Or is that like, altered vision.
Altered
I see
vision.
Angels.
I think it's some form of altered beast. Like your vision turns into wolf.
Altered beast.
Wolf vision.
Oh, no, yeah. Here on Pikmin, the first, there's like
maybe
a
this
thing.
Is why, maybe the legality is this and not the actual... How to play the game.
Well, then why wouldn't that just be a piece of paper? Why waste 30 pages of paper to say, here's how to play a game that you're never going to read this. No one's
like
ever
Obama, they are generating jobs and income and saving the economy.
In the second paragraph, seizure warning. Well, some people, about 1 out of 4,000 may have seizures or blackouts triggered by lights and flashing patterns. So on and so forth.
Getting started. Note, some models of PlayStation 3 system do not include media slots. For specific featured, refer to the instructions for use of your model of the PlayStation 3. Starting a game. Before use, carefully read the instructions supplied with the PlayStation 3 computer entertainment system. If you have forgotten where they are because you most likely threw them out with the box, then we're going to do our best to kind of put something together that maybe we'll over-explain to you like you're a dumb capuchin monkey and cannot understand how to put a game in because you just dropped $60 on something you have no idea how it works or what is going on or where you are right now.
Chapter 2.
Bottle caps are money.
Bottle caps.
I really do remember that.
I believe it.
There's combat, but it is cool, like little screenshots, but it's
color,
like,
though.
Yeah, it's all color and the credits, which means that I don't need to see them in the game.
Which means that that's not your reward for beating a game.
You know what, Kevin? When we are incredibly successful from this Amazon money that we're getting from our listeners.
Yeah, you need to tell me off air how much we got.
And then
blink it to me, the amount of money.
It's going to take a long time.
Oh. Don't blink it to me in cents.
It's going to take even less time then. We need to have the credits be, look at the back of the instruction manual.
Yeah.
Because not only will we include instruction manuals that actually help you learn how to play the game. Oh, this is the other thing that was in every instruction manual, by the way, to interrupt my notes.
Why?
Yeah, why? Notes. Notes are like bottle caps. We do not need them unless we are living in a post-apocalyptic somewhere in the Midwest or East Coast area. All right? To later be featured in an add-on pack that's really its own game in the West Coast Rat Pack era Vegas.
Now, in a game like Uncharted, doesn't make sense, but in a game like Skyrim, a notes could be useful because you could write down what spells you need to
look
make.
At Skyrim, because didn't you have it up
yeah,
there?
Yeah, I got it right here.
I'm willing to bet money, no notes section in the...
No, but in here, in Skyrim, just like any of the Grand Theft Auto, a full map of
Skyrim... I've never used that.
Who would use that? 14-year-old boys.
Well, here's the other thing. It has like the major cities, but that's it.
It's useless. Those cities you see right off the bat. Notes.
It would Let's be
see.
In the back.
Table of contents, getting started, skills, perks, magic menu, journal, dialogue.
Now, this game, I actually alchemy. Should have read the instructions.
Though. Yeah, no kidding. Horses, houses, books, and containers, warranty information, technical and customer support. I don't think that's in universe. There is one blank page before the end user agreements. And it's not lined. It's just a blank page with the same generic background that the rest of the book has.
And not identified as notes. So you could be writing over somebody's intended art.
Well, I probably would put a coffee cup here.
Oh, right. Because how else are you going to get stains
on
it? I'm
going to do that now. Just rub that coffee cup in.
Stain.
Now it has secret information.
An agent.
When I, there's nothing, this book has full screenshots, color screenshots in it of the game. A very handy diagram, the game screen, showing the HUD, the heads-up display, of where each of the items would be, so you can see, like, number three. What is number three? Crosshairs. Helps you target objects and characters. Now you know. It's all thanks to this instruction manual.
Thanks for crosshairs.
The idea is that someone that has never played a video game or lived a life can open this book up and go, now I know how to recreate a society that mankind perfectly wants, which is multiple episodes of Star Trek.
It almost seems as if there's a convention they were referring to.
Several Star Trek episodes are around the idea of aliens finding a book and then building a universe around it. Several times. So I would hate for them to find Skyrim, the instructions manual, and poor Data's like, I don't need to know how to add my perks. I just need to get out of this quantum singularity. Smithing so detailed.
Why is that guy over there just have a blank stare on his face? He is in his day of blank rest.
Yeah, that's the thing. Would it be great if holodecks were like Skyrim? You know, because in holodecks and on Star Trek, everything was as real as reality. But really, wouldn't it be more like being in a 3D video game? Like, what if you walked around a holodeck and it looked like Skyrim? And you're like, this shadow is the size of my fist. That had nothing to do with instruction manuals, but
yeah, but still.
Last week I mentioned that I wanted to, or last time on the show, I wanted to mention Jurassic Park 3 Park Builder for the Game Boy Advance.
Right, because this is why you hated instruction manuals?
Well, the lack thereof. And it was just when the internet was first starting to show up. So the game was just a game. There was no instruction manual in the box at all.
Wow.
And I should plug it in because I've still got the Game Boy.
Which is crazy for, what is this, the 90s?
Yeah.
Early 2000s.
2000, probably somewhere in there. So you turn it on.
Yeah, I can do that again. I think it was over here, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Is it? Or is that the input? I think that was the wrong button. This is by Konami. Konami.
Is it thin or thick? The cable? There you go.
Yeah, thick. So, the game just starts, right? There's a pterodactyl that jumps off a cliff and flies away. Then screeches. There's like a T-Rex or an Aldosaur.
Thriller! Night.
Yeah. A Galacticus. There's just shots of dinosaurs moving around, yelling. I pressed start because I was bored with that. It says press start. It says park builder. And if memory serves, welcome to COD. And the game starts. That's it. There is no instructions on how to play the game.
And what are you expected to do right now?
Well, because I think it picked up a save game from 10 years ago. I actually have a working park. But what you eventually figure out to do is that you run a successful park, and then you you use your money to fund geographical surveys to go around into the world, do archaeological digs, and find more DNA samples to make new dinosaurs to put in your park. So it has like a two-part harvest and park RPG. None of that is explained anywhere. It's not like it comes on and even shows like that wanka, 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 and then a wall of text to say, welcome to your park builder. You're the new, we're so glad you're in charge. First thing you need to do, nothing of that. It just, the you turn the thing on, and it's just a picture of an empty park and music playing and a cursor. And you're like, do I press a button here? I don't know. So I went online at the time. Again, the internet was pretty new. So I'm like, Jurassic Park 3, Park Builder. It's like, it doesn't tell you. They even say, for some reason or another, no instruction manual in the game. However, as Jeremy mentioned last time, as soon as you figure out what to do in the game, you're pretty much done with it. The actual game in the game was trying to figure out the instructions. Because once you learn how to play
it's
the game, you're like,
do all the action.
No, it's boring. You're like, okay, I guess I could spend forever trying to do archaeological digs to put new dinosaurs that look exactly like the other dinosaurs I already have, or I could do something else with my life. I choose B.
So what about, there isn't anything about like creating a mood for like dinosaurs or anything to get to, because they don't breed.
If there is something, no, you don't get to do anything like that. It's more about like creating a big enough pit for the dinosaur to be viewable and creating a, you know, it has to be large enough for the dinosaur, but small enough for the person to walk around because they have to walk around the whole park.
They're not in the trucks?
No, they're in like a park, like a Roller Coaster Tycoon. Oh, okay. They just walk around the aisles and stuff. Terrible game. Needed an instruction manual. No instructions about if I get a seizure, though. Nothing.
Really?
Yeah, like, so I don't know. I remember there being something, but it had no details on how to play the game.
And it's funny, too, because I think, if I'm wrong, I want to look at Ghostbusters real quick, because that's a fairly new game, is that the lack thereof of instructions in today's games. Like, there's little to nothing.
Well, that's what I'm driving at, is that I think now...
this one has a full instruction.
But that game's a few years old, too.
But I seem to remember...
Well, Skyrim was pretty thick.
The Madden games, only eventually... Like, it would say, this is how this works, this is how that works. And then eventually it was just like, this is how you throw a pass, this is how you stop the guy from throwing the pass, and that was it. It was like three pages is what the Madden instruction manual became. And it was almost like you want to understand a deeper level of drafting and trading and free agent negotiation and all that stuff, you need
online
to get a strategy guide.
Yeah, and
or
I think
go online and watch some British guy do a playthrough.
Ghostbusters, the video game, black and white. The instruction manual, black and white, cheaper to do. Laser, though, but the outside is a card stock, and the inside is just glossy pages. And very, very thin. This is very small.
My son has gotten into Ghostbusters. We watch Ghostbusters 2. It's a free play on Netflix for anybody who wants to check it out.
You want
to
borrow it?
Ghostbusters 2. No, I'm good.
Okay.
And so I just bought, as an Amazon download or whatever on my TiVo, I got Ghostbusters, the first one, for $10 because he was... Like I played it with him, and I thought, oh, he's gonna watch it for 20. No, he loves it.
Loves it.
He's seen the movie three times. He loves Ghostbusters.
The first one. Did you play the second one?
I played the second one. He's just tonight before I came here, I started the first one for him.
Oh,
like, and it was
sweet.
Like he was like, because at first I saw, oh, I'm not paying $10 for this stupid movie.
Yeah.
So I got the sequel.
Have you played Ghostbusters, the video game?
Yeah. Remember, I've killed it. Like, I was,
oh, yeah, probably.
I was so obsessed with it. I loved it, every minute of it.
Yeah,
and
it's a
that,
great game.
That was supposed to be like Ghostbusters 3 was the idea that they were kicking around, that being the script. Now, here's something that's interesting. While my wife and I are watching Ghostbusters 2 on a weekend with my son, my wife says, whatever happened to Rick Moranis?
Yeah.
Which was I was like, that's a great question. That dude was funny.
We talked about it on the show a long time ago.
Really?
Yeah, we did a whole thing on him.
On him?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
why would I not retain this information then?
We've done 400
shows. Tell me what information we talked about.
Well, he stopped doing movies, that he retired and moved back to Canada. But they're talking about, somebody put this on the SFP Facebook wall recently.
Really?
They're talking about doing another movie. Bill Murray is talking about not doing it. But Rick Moranis they'll get him out of retirement because they're like, we need to have...
See, I read online the exact opposite.
Oh, really?
That everybody, that what happened was, is that he retired because his wife passed away and he found that being a single parent was too much to deal with. Mm-hmm. And that, and so he took a break and then he came back and did a couple movies and then, while he was taking the break, realized that he didn't miss it at all.
Yeah.
And that
we talked about this on the show.
He was contacted by Dan Aykroyd to do the video game, and he turned them down.
Mm.
He said, I'm not interested doing that. And that the latest information was, due to the success of the video game, they were talking about redoing a movie, and that the entire cast had agreed except for him.
Yeah.
He was the one who was saying that, not Bill Murray.
The article I read, the rumor was going around that Bill... We talked about it when we talked about this game
on the show.
Oh,
really? Okay.
But the rumor going around now is that Bill Murray read the script for Ghostbusters 3 and threw it in the trash, and Dan Aykroyd was like, no. Bill Murray and I are too good of friends, and he respects me too much to do something like that.
Like, oh, he denied it.
Yeah, both of them did. Like, no.
No, I didn't do that.
He may decide not to do the script, but he's not going to throw my script in the
trash. It was a recycling bin. Yeah. It was not a trash.
Disneyland Connect, the instruction manual, not much of an instruction manual. It's mostly like buy
more games.
This looks
like an ad pamphlet for the Connect games.
Like when you go to the doctor's office, you can just take pamphlets on all this stuff, or the dentist, like, oh, you can do teeth whitening, auto-correcting teeth, la, la, la. That's in there. But then their instruction manual is not an instruction manual. It's a map of Disneyland with pictures of all the different rides you can do, and little, just like if you went to Disneyland, except for a lot less restrooms and stroller parking. And then on the other side is just there's the page of the warnings.
At any point did you ever look at that before we started doing this episode, though? Did you feel like you needed it for that game?
You know what? This one, I think I did look at this because I wanted to know if there was a map of the park. Yeah. But because I knew that this was in there, but I'm trying to remember if that was out of necessity or curiosity. Mm-hmm. Probably curiosity. But it does have a little intro. So it's got everything in like the same like 18-page four-quad thing. It's in color. But there's nothing to it. It's just like a little, hi, play the game. Here's how you do it. Walk around. Fun tips. Don't attempt to fly without the aid of pixie dust. Kindly do not feed the mermaids. Always wear sensible shoes when walking the plank. And so on.
There's just bits in there?
Yeah, that full, almost two-thirds of a page.
Fun tips are bits.
And little jokes. That's what instruction
manuals are. Because they're not even relevant
to the game. And this is like more decorative. The map, it looks great. But it's completely useless.
Do you think the people who designed...
I didn't need this because I know what Disneyland... I can walk in Disneyland in my sleep.
But
come
do you
on,
think the people
on.
Who design and write... Bottle caps! do you think the people that design and write instruction manuals are like the misfit toys of game developers?
Well, you know, I talked to one of the guys that was,
Nobody worries about a seizure anymore.
When they do localization, you know, they have to do all of the text that's in the game that the voice actors say, then they have to do all the text in the game that no voice actors say, and then they have to do the instruction manuals too. So it's like, oh crap, the seizures. So we're out of time, but we can't talk about instructions manual without talking about the best instruction manual for any game, which is Sly Cooper. If you open up not the Sly Cooper collection, which I was disappointed when I opened it up thinking, oh yeah, this would be great as an example. It's got all three games in one, so it's just a simple little pamphlet. It's in black and white, and it just looks like it looks like an instruction manual for a Game Boy Advance game. It's just not very detailed. But the
good story.
Original Sly Cooper games on the PS2, the first one was of the Thievius Raccoonus, and it looked like the cover. The inside is all regular play, but the outside looks like the cover, and it says like Sly Cooper, and it's all cool. Then when you buy Sly Cooper 2, it's the same cover, but like kind of tore up, and it had some age to it. And then in Sly Cooper 3, it's like completely torn to shreds and stapled back together as if the instruction manual had gone through some wear and tear between game to game. So
their coffee stinks.
There were cups on top of it all over the place. So
well done,
Sly
Nate
Cooper
Fox.
Wins.
Well done.
Best instruction manual.
Yes.
All these instruction manuals are hanging out all over the table here. Which one was Skyrim?
I don't know. I don't know because that one has the map. Don't forget that
right,
one has the
got
map.
Got it.
So that's our show. Give us a call, 408-228-4911, or send us emails. The best thing now, because we have different emails for different things on the show, if you have random questions, send that to questions@secondfunniestpodcast.com. But all that information is broken down at secondfunniestpodcast.com at the email us link. Keep clicking through on that banner for amazon.com. That really helps us out a lot. Also at secondfunniestpodcast.com every other Tuesday. So by the time this episode is released, if I made it through the first week, March 20th, that morning at 8 a.m. all the way through March 25th, is going to be the next challenge for dads, which is my show and tell challenge. But if you're listening live on Ustream right now, go to secondfunniestpodcast.com. Click on the link. Help Justin win Last Comic Sitting. Got to do a little registration thing. I appreciate it immensely. It could help me win $10,000. On behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worsham saying, okay, bye.